Four-man rush. Rodgers to the end zone. And Wilson. Can he one-hand it and stay in bounds? They say he was out. Out. Lassiter covering on the play. Almost a catch for the ages.
And the only, he's going to go for the pick. The only chance would be the knee if it came down. He has the ball. What a catch. Waiting for that other foot, just doesn't get down. The knee is close. That's what the crowd is reacting to.
What a grab, though. One-handed.
That, oh, my gosh. Ridiculous catch.
The play clock is running.
And that maybe the shin gets...
Another NFL standalone game, another officiating controversy. We'll get to that part of it coming up a little bit later on in this hour, because if you're a Steelers fan and you saw Garrett Wilson come down with that ball and the same leg hit two times, you were probably saying to yourself, why the hell did George Pickens not get the same treatment? So we'll get to that a little bit later on in this hour, but the Jets victorious over the Houston Texans. I've been saying for a couple of days, why do the Jets continue to be favored? Well, it's because Vegas always knows. So the Jets beat the Texans. The Jets have a little bit of a pulse at 3-6. The Texans now at 6-3. And so don't look now. The Steelers currently are the number two seed in the AFC. And I'm going to make a statement here. And it's one that I don't think you should disagree with, but maybe you do. The Steelers are good, folks. They're good. And they're good because they win games. And when you watch them, they're a complete football team. But they're also good because they're good relative to the other quote-unquote good teams in the AFC. Here's the good. The Steelers have the second-best point differential in the NFL. Yeah, that's good. It just... doesn't sound right, though, does it? Steelers, the second-best team in the AFC. Because they've been run on for over 100 yards three times, including by some dude whose name I already forgot from the Giants. They're the 22nd-ranked pass defense in the NFL, which we can all see with our eyes. It didn't look good against Dallas. It didn't look good against Indy. At times, it didn't look good against the Giants. And they haven't exactly played a murderer's row of offenses here. Steelers are only converting 46% in the red zone. There's only four teams with a lower touchdown percentage. So, yeah, the Steelers are flawed. Of course, they're flawed. Every team in the NFL, except for the Chiefs, let's put them on the side, are flawed. And that's not to say the Chiefs aren't flawed, but they get benefit of the doubt. If they go back to the Super Bowl this year, it's the only team in history to go 5 out of 6 years. If they win the Super Bowl this year, it's the only team ever to win 3 in a row. They've won 2 consecutive. For the purposes of this conversation, we... put them over there. Just toss them to the side. When you compare the Steelers to the other teams in the AFC, you can legitimately make the argument the Steelers are the second best team. The standings will do that for you. But let's do a little deeper analysis. Because here's what we do. The general we, and I'm guilty of this myself. I'm not preaching here. I would never do that to you. I'm not preaching. We zoom in. We put the Steelers under the microscope. We see the Steelers' flaws, all the ones that I listed there. The rush defense, the pass defense, the red zone percentage, their offensive line, all these things. Oh my gosh, the Steelers, they're 6-2, but they're kind of fraudulent, right? No, they're not. That's what we think when we zoom in on our team. And here's a disclaimer. I'm not saying the Steelers are better than any of these teams I'm about to list. But you can absolutely make the argument. We look at the Steelers' flaws, and that's fair. And that's what I'm paid to do. They are flawed. Every team is flawed. So let's do this exercise. I do happen to think the Steelers are better than the Baltimore Ravens. That's the one thing. Definitively, I think the Steelers are better. And that'll play out in a couple of weeks. But the third team in the AFC is the Bills. And they look like a juggernaut, right? Josh Allen has more touchdowns than sacks and turnovers combined. And last year, that was his issue. He would get sacked, and he would turn the ball over a ton. Josh Allen's probably playing the best football, or arguably so, of his career. They added Amari Cooper. They look like the clear front-running challenger of the Kansas City Chiefs, do they not? But they've played 2 playoff teams this year. That's it, 2. Two teams that are currently in a playoff position, two teams that you think are going to be in the playoffs. The Ravens and the Texans. And you know what happened? When they played good competition, they lost. They got pooed on by the Baltimore Ravens. They lost to the Houston Texans. So, if this were the college football playoff committee, well, they got a good record. And look, their quarterback's doing a lot of great stuff. Offensively, the numbers are good. Defensively, the numbers are good. Who you beat? The only two teams they played that are good, they lost to, the Ravens and the Texans. So people say the Steelers have two bad-ish losses, and they do. Like, I don't think Dallas is very good, and Indianapolis is middling, even with Joe Flacco. But the Bills have lost to the only two playoff teams they've played. If the Steelers beat everyone bad on their schedule and lost to the only good teams they played, people would kill them for it. The Texans, they're in the fourth spot in the AFC. The aforementioned Texans, they lost last night to the Jets. Going into the game, there was not a bigger dysfunctional mess in the entirety of the NFL, save the Carolina Panthers, than the Jets. So you zoom in now on the Texans. Stephon Diggs, out for the year. He was their big offseason acquisition. He's a dog. He's out. The Steelers have the second best scoring defense in the NFL, the 15th best scoring offense. Well, Houston, 17th in scoring offense, worse than the Steelers, and their defense is 15th in points allowed. 17th and 15th, that's as mediocre can get. The 5 seed is Denver. The 5 seed. I'll say it again for effect. Denver. When the Steelers played them in game number 2, with their backup quarterback, by the by, I came out of that game thinking, God, Denver's going to be lucky to win 4 or 5 games this year. So kudos to Sean Payton, much as it pains me to say. He's turned it around. They've turned it around. They're 5-3. They're actually better in the standings right now than the Ravens due to weird, wonky NFL tiebreaker stuff. They'll play this week, so that'll kind of meet itself out. You can't tell me you think Denver's better than the Steelers. The Steelers beat them. Now, Denver's defense is great. But Bo Nix is the starting quarterback. Getting better, but he's still Bo Nix, and we saw things up close. That's not a great football team. They might not be good, but relative to other AFC competition, hey, here they are as the 5 seed. The Ravens, who seem like a legitimate threat, are the 6 seed, and their defense is the worst in the NFL against the pass. They're 26th in points allowed. They are objectively horrific on the defensive side of the football. I mean, they're bad on that side. And we talked to guys like Jason LaConfora, who are up close and personal to that outfit, and he doesn't think it's fixable. They miss Patrick Queen. Weird as that might sound to Steelers fans. Mike McDonald, their defensive coordinator, who was a genius for them last year, he's gone. Geno Stone's gone. They've lost other pieces of that defense. They're not the same. They might get better. They're never going to be good on that side. So I'm not arguing that the Steelers are definitively better than any of those teams I've mentioned, save Denver and maybe even Baltimore. But I think if you say, Steelers fans, do you buy into this at face value? The Steelers are the second best team in the AFC. I think you'd probably get pushback from Steelers fans, and I think most fans would say, yeah, the run defense, yeah, the pass defense, yeah, the offensive line, yeah, red zone percentage. And all I'm trying to do is point out, if you're a fan of the Bills, you're probably pointing out flaws. If you're a fan of the Texans, you're pointing out flaws. If you're a fan of the Broncos, you're probably happy with where you are, but you're pointing out flaws. Los Angeles is the 7th seed. That's not a great football team. They've got 0 wide receivers. Indy at 8th, yeah, they beat the Steelers, but my God, even with Joe Flacco, that's an incredibly flawed football team. You can make a reasonable argument that not just the standings say the Steelers are the number 2 team in the AFC, but they might legitimately be the second best team behind the Chiefs. How do you feel about that? 412-928-9370. We get so caught up in looking in the mirror and thinking about all the flaws that our team has that we don't look around and see what flaws all these other teams have. 412-928-9370. I'd love to talk about it with you on the text line, on the Twitter, on the phone lines. There is an article out in The Athletic that spits in the face of everything that I just said. So I'll present the other side of the argument when we come back. But I'd love to hear from you at 412-928-9370. Halloween music yesterday. And then Callis has been waiting to unveil. We got new music here, new beds, new rejoins on the Fan Morning Show. And I'm digging it. Two segments in. It's a different flavor. Congratulations to you on all your success. Way to go.
I'm sad. I steered these a lot toward Doran's interests as well, and I am sad he can't listen until Tuesday.
Well, it's a short-term thing, but in the long term, Doran will be very pleased, very happy with it.
You really think so?
I do. It is 6:23. Time is brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty, and the Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Spent the entirety of the first segment talking about how the Houston Texans fell to the Jets last night, and the Steelers now sole possession of the number two seed in the AFC. And folks, they're good. Steelers are a good football team. Great on special teams. Really good on defense. Despite some issues at times in the running game. Despite sometimes giving up big plays in the passing game. And then offensively, they're a point away from being a top 10 offense. And had one of those two George Pickens touchdowns counted the other night, they might be in the top 10. I'd have to do math, and God knows I'm not going to do that. Now, some slappy in The Athletic, that's probably not fair. Some guy in The Athletic, Austin Mock, said the Steelers are pretenders to knock off the Chiefs in the AFC. Don't have a chance to do it. Is that how we're measuring success? Because I don't think the Bills are going to knock them off this year. I don't think the Ravens are going to knock them off. I don't think the Texans are going to knock them off. If I had to throw money down right now, I bet you the Chiefs represent the AFC in the Super Bowl again. Because they're the Chiefs, and they got Reed, and they got Mahomes, and even if the offense doesn't look all that sexy, they get the benefit of the doubt. They didn't have a good offense last year, they had a lot of drops, and then in the Super Bowl, they scored 40 points, or whatever it was, and wind up beating a great team and a great defense in the 49ers. So if that's how everyone's measuring the success, can you knock off the Chiefs, will you knock off the Chiefs, then you know what, you're all playing for second place. I just don't think that's the best way to evaluate things. Are the Steelers good? My answer is yes, albeit flawed, but so is every team in the AFC. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Brian first up this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Adam. So I got a question for you, and I got a different spin on the receivers. So
yeah,
look around the league for receivers. Lazard's on IR. They're going to keep Mike Williams.
Yep.
Okay, Slayton may be available. He's healthy, but he may be available. And Sutton, Denver's trying to get better, so they're not going to trade Sutton. So let's do process elimination. So who do we have that's out there that could – it's going to be a rental. So I like Cordell Patterson. I would deploy him as a receiver. I would deploy him out of the backfield. I would use the word deploy with him. He played receiver. He's coming back to us. Why would we give up stock, Adam, in a rental that may work? May work.
Well, one thing does give me pause in that regard, Brian, and it's a good call. I really appreciate you spending time with us this morning at 412-928-9370. You're not going to have to give up a lot. You're talking fourth, fifth, sixth round pick to get one of these receivers. But the thing that does give me pause is Mike Tomlin's always talking about getting on a moving train, and it does take time for receivers to come in and pick up the offense. Davante Adams, even though he says he knows 95% of the offense for the Jets, because a lot of it's what they did in Green Bay, and there's some different terminology, yada, yada. I mean, we saw a miscommunication early in that game last night. Like, it does take time. And so if the Steelers did go out and get Jacoby Myers, or they did go out and get Adam Thielen, or they did go out and get Darius Slayton, is that guy going to be playing 90% of the snaps from the drop? No, probably not. So it would take some time. Wouldn't mean I'm not doing it. Would still absolutely do it. Now, as for Cordero Patterson, the Steelers used him in a wide receiver hybrid-ish role earlier on this year when they were dealing with some injuries at the wide receiver position. Yeah, I would characterize him as a weapon. But does he give you enough at wide receiver too? No, I don't think so. We don't always have to put a label on things. I remember when Jordan Stahl wound up getting traded. And the talk was, do you want to pay him $6 million a year as your third center? Well, don't view him as a third center. View him as your third or fourth best player. And then ask yourself, do you want to pay your third or fourth best player $6 million bucks? My answer at the time was yes. Third center doesn't matter. Cordero Patterson, is he a wide receiver? Is he a running back? Doesn't matter. He's a weapon. And he's going to add a wrinkle and a different dynamic to this offense, no doubt, but you still need a wide receiver too. Let's go to Dan next up. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Crawley, how you doing this morning, sir?
You know what, pal? I'm great. How are you?
Oh, doing well. I listen to you guys every morning when I'm working out. Appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate that. What do you got for us?
My call is, I would agree with your point that the Steelers, you feel that they are the second-best team because even if they get down big with Russ, you feel like he could score with these teams. You know, he could score with the Bills. He could score with the Chiefs, given the opportunity and the need.
They haven't had multiple ways to win since, like, 2018, Dan. And I think this team does. Like, when they were stalling in the red zone against the Giants, and then they had the three and out to start the third quarter, you're thinking, oh, man, come on, Steelers offense, pick it up. And then, bang, Calvin Austin returns a punt for a touchdown. Thank you for the call, Dan. Ah, darn. I thought you crackled off there and you had something else to say. I shouldn't have dropped you. My bad. Hey, Calvin Austin jump-started the team. The offense, the beginning of the Jets game, and frankly, the defense to an extent, didn't look good early. And you're thinking, they put in Russ. There's boo birds coming out. And you're hoping it's just rust from Russ, but you don't know. Is he just not very good? Yada, yada. And then guess what? Beanie Bishop enters the chat, and he intercepts Aaron Rodgers. And that changed the entire game. The Steelers' defense bled yards at times against the Giants, but they had four sacks, and they had the forced fumble from T.J. Watt. And you have the interception at the end of the game from Beanie Bishop. The offense moved the ball. They've got multiple ways to win, and that hasn't been the case in a while. They don't have the best quarterback in the AFC. We could play that game. Where does Russell Wilson slot in among AFC quarterbacks right now? They don't have the best. They probably don't have a top five guy. Maybe we will do that later on in the show. Bang, why not? But they might be, this side of the Chiefs, the most complete team. And that's going to give you a shot. Anthony in Oakland, one of the best callers we got, one of the best listeners we have, and a hell of a nice man. We say hello to you. Good morning.
Thank you, young man. Hey, look, I'm more of a Jonnu Smith guy. I say play the two tight ends like Arthur Smith had down in Atlanta with Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith. We had 50 receptions last year for them. That if you can get the receiver, get the second tight end. Two tight ends worked very well for New England for many years. And I think that's the way I would go. Because right now with Russell, your wide receivers seem to be a lot better than we anticipated.
No doubt, Anthony. And I think if Russ started from game one, we might not even be having the wide receiver conversation at all.
It's the positioning and the way things have gone. We couldn't ask for a better scenario. And you know what? When I looked at Kansas City, they'd have a loss too if the officials, who I don't know how they didn't see a pass interference in the end zone against Atlanta, away from winning that game. If you remember that game,
sure.
Atlanta KC.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
everyone's flawed right now.
Every single team is flawed, Anthony. You're right about that. Yes. And that's the lens that we need to view this from. And I think a lot of Steelers fans, and I hope I'm not making a straw man here because I've dealt with a lot of texts and calls and tweets. And I think the lens a lot of Steelers fans are looking through is, well, they're not perfect. Well, nobody's perfect. And thank you for the call. A ton of flawed teams in the AFC. Why can't the Steelers be the best among all these flawed teams? And if you don't think they're better than Kansas City, I would agree with you, and we can put them to the side. So how about the best of the rest? I think there's a reasonable argument to be made that they are. As for Jonnu Smith, he is having a heck of a year. 25 catches, 256 yards, and a touchdown, and that with all the disastrous stuff going on at quarterback with Miami. I mean, you got a lot of tight ends as it is. I would still go for a wide receiver, but I understand Anthony's point. 412-928-9370. It seems like every conversation we have about the Steelers winds up devolving into the wide receiver convo. And I get it. They need another guy. And it does seem to be dwindling, this market here. It's why you don't put your back against the wall if you're Omar Khan. You have until the deadline, but it is much harder to pull off a trade in season than it is in the off season. And there's a bunch of free agents out there during the off season. I would generally say that my philosophy is get it done prior to kickoff in early September. Because it's hard right now. Like Calvin Ridley breaks his collarbone, he's out of the equation. Alan Lazard, he's on IR, so Mike Williams probably not going to be traded. There's a couple of guys. off the market right there. Cooper Kupp was on the market, now off because they fancy themselves contenders in L.A. You think about DeAndre Hopkins, he's gone. Amari Cooper was never going to happen here, he's gone. Devontae Adams, probably never going to happen here. He wanted to be a Jet, he's off the market. So that market shrinks real quick. Doesn't mean there's nobody left. Darius Slayton, Jacoby Myers, Adam Thielen, maybe Cortland Sutton, though I don't understand that from Denver's standpoint. And Doran made a good point yesterday. Why would they trade him to play with Russell Wilson? I hope they get it done. I think they'll get it done, but their backs are against the wall. 412-928-9370. Would love your thoughts on the wide receiver discussion. Also, do you think the Steelers are good? You can get cutesy on a Friday. You can have this super nuanced topic. Oh my gosh, let's narrow this thing down. Or you can just have fun and throw a simple one out there and have a nice discussion. And that's what we're doing. Are the Steelers good relative to their AFC competition? 412-928-9370. We'll talk about that. But speaking of wide receivers, that Garrett Wilson touchdown, non-touchdown last night, we got to talk about it. And the flawed state of affairs in NFL officiating.
Four-man rush. Rodgers to the end zone. And Wilson! Can he one-hand it and stay in bounds? They say he was out.
So Garrett Wilson, who's really good, goes up and makes one of the catches of the year. He looks like the and one logo. He goes up, snatches it with one hand as he's falling to the ground in the process of attempting to complete the catch. One foot hits, then the same foot hits again, and then the shin hits. And while it's ruled incomplete on the field, review overturns it. Touchdown. Now, Steelers fans were apoplectic online last night because George Pickens had the same foot hit twice and it gets ruled incomplete. There is a difference. If your foot hits twice, the same foot, not a catch. If your shin hits, it counts as 2 feet. And it is a catch. Just like if your knee hits, or your hip hits, or your ass hits, or you get 2 feet in. All those things, it's a catch. And I understand the distinction. I understand what the rule book says. What I'm telling you is, it is poppycock. It is ridiculous. It's absurd. It's angering. It's idiotic. You get the same foot down twice. I would argue that's a lot harder than even getting 2 feet down.
May I provide an opinion?
Of course you may.
I'd like to read the rule exactly, but 2 feet in bounds could be the same foot. Does it say your left and your right need to be down?
Yes. We just did this with George Pickens. Where have you been? George Pickens got the same foot down twice.
No, I know that, but I mean, like, the rule book says it has to be the left and the right.
You need to get one of each, yeah.
Because I would argue that you could make it 2 feet in bounds and the same foot would be your 2 feet.
That's the way it should be. Yeah. Absolutely. You should be able to get 2 feet down regardless of the feet. So if your left foot hits twice, catch. Right foot hits twice, catch. The way it is right now, both feet need to hit for it to be a catch. Or the shin, or the elbow, or the hip, or the ass. That counts as a catch. It's ridiculous. It's harder to get 1 foot down twice than it is to get the left and the right foot down. And yet, the thing that's harder is not a catch.
But the thing, like, if your joint hits like that, like you're talking about any of those parts, technically you're down at that point right after contact. So if you're down and you're in bounds, that's why it counts as a touchdown?
Yeah, but I'm saying that's stupid.
Right. No, I
understand the rule book, but the rule book is stupid. And that's the problem with the NFL right now. I don't generally have many complaints about the actual on the field officials, though the Vikings game last week with the missed face mask in the end zone, that was purely on the officials who said they didn't have a look at it. And the argument should be the eye in the sky judge, the independent review, whatever you want to call it. That should be able to say, hey, you egregiously missed a face mask. You should be able to have that happen. But more often than not, I don't have an issue with the officials on the field. I have an issue with the rule book. And if you get the same foot down twice, common sense tells you he had possession of the ball, that should qualify as a catch. And I understand why Steelers fans were annoyed last night, because it looked similar enough to the George Pickens deal that it makes you want to pull your hair out. It's ridiculous. 412-928-9370. That's the phone number. I said during the last segment, why don't we rank the quarterbacks in the AFC? And we're going to do just that coming up next, and I want your opinion on it. Same phone number, 412-928-9370 on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We got a lot of Penguins to talk about. We got the Pitt game to talk about. We got the Penn State game to talk about. A lot going on the rest of the show. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette at 8. Brian Bacco talking Steelers of the Post-Gazette at 8:35. And then our guy Lee Sterling at 9 o'clock. I want to get into this whole quarterback thing, and we'll do that coming up at the top of the next hour, because we need more time on this. Where would you have ranked Russell Wilson among the AFC quarterbacks coming into the year? Where would you rank him now? Because I think it's totally different. And then there's a little bad news in all that, which I'll get to, again, coming up at about 7 o'clock. As for this whole catch, non-catch, Garrett Wilson, George Pickens thing from last night, I can't believe I just got this text at 412-928-9370. Adam, the rules are the rules. Grow up, both feet, one knee, one shin, one elbow. It's easy. The rules are the rules. I don't know if that's sarcasm or not. I hope it is. If not, just because something's a rule doesn't mean it should be a rule. They changed the whole Jesse James thing because that was idiotic. Everyone in the world looked at that and said, that should be a catch, except for Alberto Riveron. Everyone says that's a catch. The rule book said otherwise, and so they changed the rule. Here is the rule in the NFL. To complete a catch in the NFL, a receiver must touch the ground inbounds with both feet or another body part of their body other than their hands. Yeah, so for the purposes of the NFL, a hand does not count. You don't need hands in the NFL. But you need both feet down or 1 foot and a shin or 1 foot and a knee or 1 foot and your butt cheeks. 1 foot and your back. But not 1 foot and then the same foot. That doesn't count. And we don't see it pop up all that often. But imagine if that touchdown that wasn't for George Pickens happens in a playoff game. And again, the rule book says very clearly that that's not a catch. But it should be a catch. And it could have cost him a game. Imagine if that's the AFC Championship game. And George Pickens gets 1 foot down twice. That thing would be changed so quick in the offseason, but it doesn't help you in real time. Just because something's a rule doesn't mean it's right. The NFL's got a lot of silly rules. You telling me you like the way that they adjudicate roughing the passer? Are you telling me that you understand what a defenseless receiver is? That you understand in college, same kind of deal, what targeting is? No. So just because something's on the rule book, yeah, we have an understanding. Doesn't mean it's the right thing. 412-928-9370. I love this text from Steve, or this tweet from Steve. 1 foot and one hand would not count. I don't think the NFL considers the hand as a body part. That's right, which is quite bizarre. All right, coming up next, I'd like to hear from you on this at 412-928-9370 on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Where did you have Russell Wilson ranked among AFC quarterbacks coming into the year? Where would you have him right now? Because I got him in a totally different spot, but I also have some bad news. That's next. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road in McMurray, or at sunchevy.com.